And welcome back to The Full Story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak speaking today about marijuana, whether or not it should be legal in New York and Connecticut. Sam Tracy is with us, the head of the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana. Matt Simon, New England political director for the Marijuana Policy Project. Also on the phone, Dr. Deepak Cyril D'Souza, professor of psychiatry at Yale School of Medicine, and Bo Huyn, Connecticut representative of SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. We got a tweet in, and let me read it to you. Cannabis use by some folks with bipolar disorder can be very harmful and can trigger psychosis or even schizophrenia, but I agree to legalize and regulate. Also, I agree with the researcher that cannabis can be addictive. Dr. D'Souza, I have to read you something also. Now, one of my all-time favorite lines is, the answer to all your questions is money. Doing some research for this show, I read an article in Forbes, and here's the last line from the article. The U.S. is not far behind Canada on the path to legalizing recreational marijuana. Companies are lining up to take advantage of the largest potential cannabis market in the world. It's inevitable. Doctor, is it inevitable?
So I'm not the best person to answer it, but I can comment on a few things that you mentioned. I do think that a lot of this is about money. It's not about social justice. In the state of Connecticut, cannabis was decriminalized a long time ago, and so that's not an issue, at least in the state of Connecticut. I do believe that people should not be locked up for cannabis-related crimes. But at the end of the day, this is really a big money-making venture at many different levels. The state governments want to believe that they can fill their coffers with taxes that are generated from the sale of cannabis, from the dispensaries in the state of Connecticut that have an application, a non-refundable application fee of $850,000to the dispensaries that sell it. To the people who grow it, it's all about the money. And at least in the West, with tobacco not so hot anymore, they are finding different ways of making money. And cannabis is going to be, there's a lot of money to be made. And let me tell you that the approach, a well-known approach amongst the alcohol and tobacco industry was to target young people because you would make them consumers for the rest of their life. And that's already what's happening in Colorado, that many of these products like cannabis gummy bears are targeting young people so that we all know that young people are much more sensitive and vulnerable to developing addictions, whether it's alcohol, nicotine, or other drugs. And that the target is really young people who are going to remain consumers the rest of their lives. It's not a secret that the tobacco and the alcohol industry recognize that it's only 20% of consumers who account for 80% of the purchase of alcohol and tobacco. And so their job is to try and get as many people to use, young people to use as much. So yes, this is my very oblique way of answering that perhaps it's going to be inevitable, but it's all driven by money at every different level.
Sam Tracy, are you worried that the legalization of marijuana will open the doors to the legalization of other drugs in the future? Substances that maybe we don't even know about today?
No, I'm not concerned with that. I think that obviously we should be considering all aspects of our drug policies, and that's something that's a national debate going on right now, but if you do look at marijuana specifically, the reason we're talking about this drug right now is both because of the huge political changes that have been happening across the country over the past 6 years, but also because cannabis is so widely used. If you're talking about these, new drugs that are synthetic, things like that, it's a conversation, we want to talk about those, and there are some major public health effects there. But cannabis is so widely used, and it's been part of our national culture for many, many decades now, it's clearly impossible to kind of get that toothpaste back in the tube, as the saying goes. And so we do really want to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that there are countless people already using cannabis in Connecticut and all over the country. And to speak to one of the previous questions as well, or one of the previous comments about there being additional public health effects that make it a net loss economically, that's just not true, since we're already bearing all of the negative costs of cannabis use. We're not debating whether to invent cannabis, whether to introduce it to Connecticut. It's already here. What we're debating is whether to regulate it for adults.
Matt Simon, who's using nowadays? I mean, I still, even though with advancing years, I still get to go to concerts every now and then. And it's not like it was when I was a kid. When I would go to a concert, you would walk in someplace and there would just be a cloud. I mean, you would walk into a cloud of this. I don't see that now. First of all, smoking is banned in most places. But even when it's outdoors or anyplace else, I don't find that many people smoking. Are they using it in other forms?
Gosh, I guess I don't go to enough concerts anymore. I don't have a very good sample in my head. Yeah, I think that it's certainly the case that people really in all 50 states are using cannabis in different ways, whereas 10 years ago, 20 years ago, smoking a joint, smoking a bowl were pretty much the standard methods, and maybe you knew somebody who made brownies or whatever. But edibles have become much more commonly used. And part of that is the regulated market in Colorado and Washington, enabling people to think beyond smoking. And there are more discrete ways of consuming vaporization or edibles and that are more healthful, frankly. Inhaling smoke is not a healthy thing to do. And many people who are using, who are new consumers of cannabis, simply don't want to smoke. So I think it has changed somewhat, and part of that is the regulated market leading us to think beyond prohibition.
Dr. D'Souza, I know that's one of the aspects of this that you've told me in the past that concerns you, because if they're gummy bears or something else that would attract a younger population, you think that could lead to greater problems in the future?
So, yes. So we know that the developing brain, the brain continues to develop until about the age of 25. And we all have a receptor system in the brain that's called the brain cannabinoid receptor system. And we now know that this system is really involved in some important processes that occur in mid to late adolescence that are important for brain development. And when that system is perturbed by, for example, smoking cannabis or consuming a cannabis product, it can have far-reaching implications. I don't know if you're aware, but there was some media attention that was given to two papers that were reported at the Society for Neuroscience meeting that was held last week in San Diego. Both studies that were done in animals showed that exposure in animals to cannabinoids during mid-adolescence was associated with significant changes in the brain that were present in adulthood. So when you have products that are targeting young people, like gummy bears, like Klondike bars, which contain basically cannabis, this is all to target young people, because young people are much more sensitive to developing addictions. And if they are exposed to drugs that have the potential of altering neurodevelopment, one could imagine why people might be concerned about the long-term implications.
Bohune, I'm sorry, Dr. Bohune, are you seeing this in Guilford? Are you seeing the teens taking the gummy bears and other things? They're not smoking, but maybe they're ingesting in other ways.
This is around. Juuling is a big, big thing now. And it's not just flavored stuff. It's also got marijuana condensates that are oils that they use. It's something that it just kills me to hear them talk about this is a regulated industry, when what they're doing is selling something without warnings. They're advertising like crazy to increase use. They've got all these other products that are aimed at kids, and they act as though this is somehow regulated and better than the illegal.
Now I'm going to change it just a little bit. Ned Lamont is the governor-elect. He's looking at a $4.5 billion deficit. over the next 2 years or so. They're looking at ways to make money. At some point, don't you just say, well, they have to do this because it's $200 million a year?
Well, I think they can look at it and say, this is the money we're making, but they can't stop there. They need to look at what are the costs that we're picking up as well. If you have a new public offering in a computer stock and only talk about the money you're going to make to your investors and don't mention the fact that there's going to be a whole bunch of costs associated with it, they'd call it a fraudulent public offering. They'd put you in jail. And for the state to say we're going to make all this tax revenue but ignore all the costs, just not right. And I think, I hope that our legislature will take a look at what's happened in other states and think that through. So I'm actually hopeful that Governor Lamont will be thoughtful about this. He said he wants to do it well. He wants to do it right. Now, I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does happen, I hope when they talk about regulated, they mean regulated. And when they talk about revenue, that they look at the costs. And there are some things that they could do to really hold the industry's feet to the fire, which needs to happen.
We have about 5 minutes left in our program today. Sam, with that remaining time, when you look at what's happening up in Hartford, how close would you say that the legislature is to approving this?
I think we are very close. I really do think that 2019 is going to be the year that Connecticut legalizes marijuana.
So the same as New York?
I'm really hoping that we beat New York to it, but they might be close behind us. But with Connecticut, we've been working on this issue. I've personally been doing this, talking about marijuana policy in Hartford since 2009. But over the past couple of years, we've had really serious debates about legalization. But there have been a few key factors holding us back. One of them was the opposition of Governor Malloy. So having an opponent in the governor's office who, he never said he would sign legislation, so there wasn't faith that if something was passed that it would get signed. Having a champion in the governor's office now is huge. The Democrats did also increase their majorities in both houses. We do have some Republicans who are on our side on this issue, a lot more of the libertarian-minded folks, but Democrats do support this much more so. And so having that set up as well is really important. And finally, when the legislature convenes in early 2019, sales to adults will have already begun in Massachusetts. We're going to have sales starting in the coming weeks, it appears. And so it is going to be no longer theoretical, but a reality that Connecticut residents can just drive up to Massachusetts to make these legal purchases. So I think having those three factors combined, that this is really going to be our year in 2019. But we do still need the help of activists. So anyone who wants to get involved, please go to regulatect.org to join our organization and help out.
Dr. D'Souza, what will you be doing in the next year to convince legislators of your viewpoint?
Well, I just want to make sure that legislators are aware of the medical and psychiatric, the potential medical and psychiatric consequences, the impact on children and their development, the potential impact of on motor vehicle accidents, and the impact on people with serious psychiatric problems who already have serious psychiatric problems like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. I would also like to convince the legislators that if they're going to go ahead, that they set aside a sizable amount of money to have some kind of surveillance program to track the number of new cases of cannabis use disorder, and also to provide treatments for people who might become addicted to cannabis.
Matt Simon, what about the national picture? Will at some point the United States, the entire country, legalize marijuana like Canada?
Well, I don't think it will be like Canada. In Canada, the federal government decided to legalize and basically force that decision on all of the provinces and said, here, figure it out yourselves from one province to the next. So I think it'll look very different in the United States if it does happen. What I think's more likely to happen is Congress will pass a law that, that says simply that states are free to regulate cannabis as they see fit, that policymakers in Hartford should not have to worry about what the U.S. Attorney General might think when they're determining what public health and public safety restrictions are most appropriate for cannabis. And with Democrats taking control of Congress, I think that has a good chance of happening next year.
Because we should clarify this. It is still against the law, the federal law, right? which doesn't seem to make much sense to me nowadays with certain states doing what they want, but that's me.
No, well, historically, you know, the police, enforcement of prohibition has been left to the state and local governments. Only a very tiny fraction of arrests have ever been made by the federal government. It's really 1% or less of marijuana arrests are made by the feds. But certainly does make an impact that threat does exist, and it would give it would certainly make things easier for policymakers if they didn't have the potential confusion of federal enforcement.
Bo Huhn, I'm going to give you the last minute or so here. Are you tilting at windmills? I mean, you're putting up the good fight, and I could see that you're passionate about this cause, but at some point?
Yeah, no, I really am optimistic about it. I feel that in our society, substance abuse is like the greatest problem that we face nationwide, that we have so many kids who are bright, smart, funny little fifth graders who get sucked into drug abuse and their lives get demolished. They disappear from a town like Guilford and end up in a rundown part of Austin, Texas, or Seattle. Their family is ashamed of them. They don't talk about them. You don't know what's happened to the kid, but they end up with an overdose, or they end up with unemployed, homeless, really miserable, miserable lives. And we worry so much about our children today. We won't let parents leave them in the car while you run in the store for a glass of milk, but we tolerate the substance abuse that kills them and destroys them. So I really do think that as people face it, the pendulum will swing back and that we will make progress on this.
He's Bo Huhn, Connecticut representative of SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Also joining us today, Dr. Deepak Cyril D'Souza, professor of psychiatry at Yale, Matt Simon, the New England political director for the Marijuana Policy Project, and Sam Tracy, the head of the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana. My thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
We hope you join us tomorrow when we're talking about changing the political landscape in Connecticut. Call us. Let us know what's going on. It's not just Connecticut, New York. Call us, email us, tweet us. That's it for our show. Julie Ferdino is our engineer, associate producers. Christian Carter, Sabrina Garone, Natalie Chafari, Carrie Frank, digital editor. Cassandra Bassler, senior editor, and Lopez, the producer, Terry Sheridan, our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thank you for being part of the full story.